whatsoever with BBS, would you mind standing up real quick? I just want people to realize. I know, don't be shy. It's okay. Kiddos, what do we say to them? Thank you.
Wonderful week at BBS, and I had three wonderful interns that I am so proud of. Meg Holt, can you come up here? Is Allison here? Allison's not here. Allison Blaine, so talented artist, and Sydney. And they're going to share with you a little bit about what they happened this week at BBS. You want to?
So this was my third time doing the internship here for VBS, and I think it was probably my favorite because, well, the first year there were four of us, and we had to, Miss Debbie was here, and then the next year there were like eight of us, and then this year there was only three, so I think we got to like know each other more, and like we got to spend time with Miss Vicky, which I, you know, hadn't spent time with her in a long time, so that was really nice, and I don't know. This one was just really fun to decorate. My favorite thing probably was downstairs in the fellowship hall, which they're taking down now. We painted like the little superheroes that look like kids, and like it took a long time, but I think that was my favorite. And just like, I don't know, spending time with everyone. We were there for about like 10 to 4 every day for 2 weeks, and then during Bible school, and I don't know, just getting to know everyone, and then whenever, like, the kids come here, like, seeing them, like, enjoy all the decorations, it really makes it, like, worth it. And I don't know, I think the chains in the hallway of the kids' hall, I think we're going to leave those up for a little bit, so you can enjoy those. And then all this has to come down today, but I don't know. I really like it. So hope everyone enjoyed it as well.
All right. Well, I definitely really like this one because it's really a lot of fun to see the kids have fun and run around and all this stuff. And they were super excited when it was about superheroes. So it was like superheroes, everything. And like even the preschoolers had their little capes and they were all excited about it. And that's really great. I love to see the kids have a good time. So, yeah.
I think the cutest thing ever I saw this week was Lincoln when he put on his little cape and little mask. And he would just run around the fellowship hall. But it was so cute because the little cape was flying behind him. But I don't know. I just keep picturing it in my head. It's really cute. So I think that's all we had.
Thank you both and Miss Vicky and everyone that helped out. Again, we are greatly blessed as you can tell, and it was a good week. It was an exciting week, and again, Wednesday night was good to have the opportunity to pray with some of the kids and to just worship together in that way. It was a true joy. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. This was a favorite scripture passage given to me. And it deals with an interesting topic of gossip, which I'm sure all of us are experts in some form or another. And so if I miss anything, I'm sure you'll tell somebody about that. So just kidding. So this morning as we consider this, let us hear God's word to us from James chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties, and to keep the world from contaminating us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the joy we have in celebrating together, for the reading and the hearing of your word. We pray that the words you have given me this day would be your words and not mine, that they would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. As I was preparing for the service this week, one phrase kind of kept coming to my mind. It's a phrase I'm sure you're familiar with, and if you would, please help me to say this phrase. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This phrase kept just coming into my mind all week long. Does anyone know the origin of this phrase? I found it quite interesting. I found the origin of it because I'm a nerd and I like to do that kind of stuff. We first see it written on March of 1862. It was in an African Methodist Episcopal Church publication called The Christian Recorder. And the phrase as it's written in that publication is, "Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never break us." And of course, as we continue to consider the context of this passage and its originality, as it is found in this African Methodist Episcopal publication, we can get the meaning behind it, the context behind it. You can say whatever you want to us, but you're not going to break our spirit. We're going to continue to fight for equality, for reconciliation. We're going to fight for those things that are owed and deserving to us. And you can hurt our body, but you can never really touch our soul. And so we get the context behind it. But of course, as we continue to use that, it's become a little trivialized, right? Just in our own thinking. And we know that this couldn't be further from the truth. words can indeed hurt, and they can wound. Has anyone in here ever been hurt or wounded by someone's words? And how many of us were hurt or wounded by words of those closest to us? Right? A perfect stranger can come up to me and call me ugly, and I'll be like, whatever. I know you're lying. But if Abby were to say it, I might be a little hurt, right? The closer we are, the more true this is that words can hurt and words can wound. As Christians, James reminds us in verse 26 here that our devotion to God is worthless if we can't control what we say. Our devotion to God is worthless. These are some strong words that James uses here. And I remember when I was sensing the call to ministry that I needed to quickly learn how to use my words to build up rather than to tear down. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm one of those that tends to say what I'm thinking. And I used to be pretty bad at that. And I used to tear people down quite a bit. And of course, I know it was to build myself up, to make myself look better because of my low self-esteem and things of that nature. But I quickly realized that I needed to work on the way that I said things and the things that I said to others. And John Wesley was pretty helpful in this, as he is in a lot of things. John Wesley gives us three simple rules as Methodists. And no doubt, it was on the minds of those in the African Methodist Episcopal Church as they wrote this phrase down. But he teaches us the three simple rules: to do no harm, to do good, and to stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Now, those are some rules that I can get behind. This week in VBS, we had our verse, and it was pretty similar. Do good, seek peace, and go after it. These are valuable words to live by, but the question for us this morning is, do we live by them? Do we do it? We know it's written down. We know we're supposed to, but do we attend to these things? Now, the first part of verse 14 in Psalm 34 is quite interesting, and it's not in there, but it's turn from evil. We're told, turn from evil, do good, seek peace, and go after it. Now, of course, when we hear do good and seek peace and go after it, the implication is to turn away from evil, but let's not leave anything left unsaid this morning. Turn from evil, get away from it. Do good, seek peace, and go after it. And I love that phrase, go after it. There's a sense of putting all of ourself into doing good and seeking peace, isn't there? And so there's no time to do evil. There's no time to do things that would hurt or harm others. James, also in this passage this morning, is telling us this same thing. He's giving us this same message, but he's telling us in a different way. And it's important that we recognize all of the repetition in Scripture, but the way that it's said and phrased differently so that it can sink into each and every one of us. James tells us to control what we say. And notice he doesn't put any qualifiers on that. He doesn't say control what you say when you're angry. Anyone ever said anything when they were angry that they wish they could take back? He says don't control what you say only when you're sad. Anyone ever said anything they wish they hadn't when they were sad? I'm the only one. That's all right. He says, don't control what you say only when you're in an emotional state or in an emotional distraught state, but control what you say, period. Always. In everything you do, in everything you say, in every mood that you feel, say only what is good and right. And what's so interesting about this, as I've thought about this week, is that words are one of the very few things that we can actually control. You can control what you say and what you don't say. It does not matter what state of mind you are in, you can control it. Now, we spend a lot of time trying to control things that we can't control, right? And would our time be better spent seeking to control those things that we actually could control, like what we say, or more importantly, what we don't say? Gossip, then, would be a lack of control, a lack of devotion, as James tells us. If we're busy talking about others, then we're not talking about God. If we're busy hurting others, then we're not doing good or seeking peace or going after it. Now, I will admit this morning that the cynical part of me, there's a little tiny sliver of cynicism in Matt Seal, and there's always been a cynical part of me, and I've always been a little suspect of sharing prayer concerns in public, you know, in church or in Bible study or in groups of that nature. Now, I'm sure that for the most part, when we do that, our motives are pure. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that there's a fine line between sharing prayer concerns and gossip. Isn't there? And if we're not careful, we can easily slip in to talking about someone rather than interceding for someone, can't we? How many times has this scenario played out? You're in a Bible study or something, and someone says, hey, pray for so-and-so. Well, what's wrong? What's going on? How long has it been going on? What do we need to do? Is there anything we can do? Right? And again, there's the well-intentioned part of this, but there's also the part of, well, I need to know what's going on. Right? I need to get to the bottom of this because it's all important that I know everything about everyone in every situation, every circumstance. I think of the lady on Bewitched, the neighbor across the street. What was her name? Miss Kravitz. Yeah, everyone knows her name. Yeah. We've all heard about her. There's that little Miss Kravitz in all of us that just needs to know, right? And we just have to know. And so as I consider this time with prayer concerns, I've got just I think something very helpful for us this morning. It is absolutely okay for us to know who, right? We need to know who to pray for. And I think it's okay initially to ask what, if they're willing to share. Who and what? So-and-so is dealing with such-and-such, or so-and-so is having surgery, or so-and-so has lost somebody. And I think that's okay, but I don't think we need to go any further than that. As far as I'm concerned, I just need a name. God knows the rest. If they want to come and talk with me, that's fine. If you want to know more about what's going on in someone's life, how do you think the best way to go about doing that would be? Well, no, we don't want to ask them. We want to ask everybody else. But yes, the best thing to do would be to go and say, hey, I heard you're having a hard time, or I heard there's something going on. Would you like to talk about it? Right? But we don't like to do that. We like to make up these stories. We've got some of the truth, so let's insert, well, I heard this. Right? Now, I never put anyone's name on the prayer list or the prayer chain unless I've asked them. And I think that would be a good practice for all of us. Don't put somebody's name on there just because you think it should be on there. Make sure you've got their permission to do so. Gossip, or the inability to control our tongues, proves to be worthless devotion because it seeks to manipulate, it seeks to control, and it seeks to lord over the other. Right? And that's what we get into when we want to or need to know more than we should know. Words are meant to heal. They're meant to communicate. They've never been meant to harm or to destroy. And how easily we can slip into that if we're not careful. We can turn gathered information into whatever we want. We then begin to control the story if we know at least part of it. And we've got to be careful. Has anyone in youth group ever played the telephone game before? Now, what do you do in this game? Somebody says a sentence or a phrase, and you're supposed to pass it around and see how similar it was. Now, I was always that youth. If the phrase was Tommy likes snow and it came to me, I'd say Mary hates pizza. Just because I'm me. Right? And so it never came back around. But if you honestly do it, it will not come back exactly the same. It never will. It will always be a little different. And we need to be mindful of that. As we hear things and as we share things, we need to be mindful to share only what we know or only what we have been told and nothing more, because we get into dangerous territory when we do that. I've made many apologies to many different people on many occasions for saying something out of context or getting something wrong, and I'm sure all of us have. James gives us a way then to show true devotion. He gives us a way to turn our words into actions so that we're not tempted to just use our words, but to actually do something. True devotion, he says in verse 27, is to care for orphans and widows and to keep the world from contaminating us. Now, when we give way to gossip, instead of caring for orphans and widows, we attempt to explain or find out why they've been orphaned or widowed in the first place. Let me make this absolutely clear this morning. Conjecture is never your place. Conjecture is never your responsibility. It's not up to you to fill in the holes in a story. It's up to you to pray, to care for, to help. Gossip turns people into objects because it cares more about an intriguing story than it does for the truth. And gossip often leads to half-truths, which to me are worse than flat-out lies. With a flat-out lie, you've started with something untrue and you've just blown it out of proportion. With a half-truth, what you've done is you've taken something true, something pure, something good, and something right, and you've perverted it. You've twisted it. You've manipulated it to be whatever it is you want to be and to make it sound however you want it to sound. Right? That's what we do with gossip. We take something good, something that needs maybe to be heard, and we twist it to fit our needs and our purposes. And I think a half-truth is far worse than a lie, because a lie at least knows what it is. And a half-truth now has an identity crisis because we don't know what to believe and what not to believe. Gossip contaminates us, right? And we're told by James not to let the world contaminate us. Okay, check. Don't let the world contaminate me, right? And we have to do things about that. We have to replace those things that will contaminate us with things that that won't contaminate us. And if Jesus is the Word this morning, as we know He is, we hear about that from John chapter 1. If Jesus is the Word, and we use words to hurt others, then we are perverting who Jesus is. We are turning Jesus into a liar, aren't we? Gossip diminishes Jesus within us and within other people. And it's a far cry from doing good, seeking peace, and going after it. So we need to put our mouths where our faith is this morning. We need to do good, we need to seek peace, and we need to go after it. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, your words should be Christ-like. They should be those things which build up and don't tear down. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. It's hard to do that when you're busy talking about other people. Let us not be drawn into the conjecture that far too often hurts and wounds us all. Let us refuse to enter into dialogue that makes the Word anything less than Christ Himself. May we bear the fruit of self-control centered in love. May our mouths prove our faith rather than make our faith worthless. And one of my favorite quotes, I'm not going to remember it completely, from St. Francis of Assisi is, "Preach the gospel, and if time allows or time permits, use your words." May we be people who live our faith, who put our mouth where our faith is, and share that faith with others. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for all that you have done and continue to do in our midst this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you that you are the Word and that you are truth. And we pray that you would keep us ever near and ever close to your Word and to your truth, so that what we say, how we react, how we respond to others may be holy, it may be blameless, and it may lead them to know you as we know you. We love you. We thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.